Good evening, James McKenna here with my Science Hour tonight. Interesting topic. I've been talking for weeks about the electric highways to the stars, and I've been talking about the physical spaceships and travel and technical issues, things like that. Tonight, I've started breaching the topic of the human, the makeup of the human being that sets us aside from, say, animals and plants and other things, living things in the universe. And, this whole thing of living and non-living, the Peruvians, the Incas, believe that there are spirits in rocks, and so did the Native Americans. And they were much more connected to the spiritual world than we are. In fact, the whole purpose of modern life is to keep you totally disconnected with the spiritual world. And you find that even the great religions of the world create these vast rule books. And you think if you live by this rule book, then you are going to see Allah or go to heaven or, you know, be one of the 144 that are saved in the whatever. You know, all of these rules And I'm fain to call them myths, but they're simply, most of them are made up by man in some manner. The point to get back to is in discussing the electric highways to the stars, man himself is an electrical being. We are very, very electric. In fact, all of our nervous system, the thing that makes us function physically, is electric. It's chemical synapses, the little chemical reactions that move information through the body very quickly. If you're running or you're doing something, all of this is done and being controlled electrically in your body. And I'm going to give another example here, which is a little bit mundane, but apropos. The snowflake, when they were working in the laboratory trying to reproduce snowflakes, they took the conditions that you have in the cloud, the humidity, the water content in the air, the temperature, the pressure, etc., the tumultuous movement of the air, all of these things going on. And then they put a pinhead in there, just a little teeny dot, because they knew that snowflakes formed around like little dust grains. There was always, in the middle of a snowflake, there's a little teeny dust grain. And so that's very interesting, because all these dust grains are different. They're not a nice little circle of some kind. They're just a piece of dirt or grit, but very small, extremely small. And so anyway, they were trying to reproduce this in the laboratory in a chamber, and they couldn't do it. They were getting crystals, they were getting ice crystals, but they were long, and they were not formed well, and they were just like random shaped, and they weren't even in the shape of a snowflake. They were just like long, extended crystals. And then for some reason, they applied, I don't know if it was by accident or if it was planned or whatever, they applied an electric field to the metal tip of this pin, and all of a sudden the six-sided snowflake started emerging. And of course, every snowflake is said to be different. And that appears to be a reflection of the electric fields and the nucleus, this little particle of dust, all of which are different. So there's some type of communication. Now, as the snowflake grows and grows out in six directions, they are six-sided symmetry. As the snowflake grows, how does the arm over here know exactly what the arm over there is doing? And so there's some type of communication going on in which there's six-fold symmetry, not just symmetry, but really, really exact symmetry. All the little arms, there might be an arm missing out of one of the extensions, and that arm is missing on all of them. So what's going on here? And then you have the human being, which also is electric, And we are, communicate, our whole body is communicating, but okay, so that's a little lesson in physiology, but let's take this a little bit further. Your body is basically an antenna, and so you are communicating with the electric fields that are around you, and they're communicating with you. And they're probably listening less to those than what you are to them. But you're lost in this sea of what we call white noise. White noise is just like when you go into, say, a building and there's lights on all over the place. That's the same effect, where there's just light coming from every place and you don't concentrate on any one light source because there's so many of them. And that's the same thing with electromagnetism. When you, say, go into your work building, there's routers, there's electronic equipment, even though they're LCC rated and UL listed, etc., to be less than a certain level of radiation coming out of them, there's still this white noise, and your body is just kind of like, you get used to it. Some of us grew up with this or grew into it as we grew older. And the younger generation is completely immersed in this with cell phones and now 5G, etc. And so anyway, that's another part of the physical being. So I'm going to enumerate the various parts of the human being. We have the physical part. That's the part you see in the daytime, the physical person, and that's who you recognize, for example. There's grandma, there's grandpa, there's mom, dad, kids, you know, and each person has a unique... I often wonder how squirrels identify each other, because to me, they all look the same. A squirrel is a squirrel, you know. A cow is a little different because they have different spots on them, but, I mean, how does a squirrel tell all the rest of the squirrels apart? I mean, they all look the same to me. But humans, you know, they might say the same of humans. All humans look the same. But anyway, that's your physical body. Then you have your electrical body, which is internal, the electrical circuits that stop at your skin. But then you have these series of antennas in your entire body. You have an aura, which the best we can describe it is an electromagnetic aura that exists that along with your body. Then there's your spirit. Then there's your brain, which is still a mystery. I mean, scientists think, oh, well, they've discovered the lobe in your brain that is the one that communicates if you have religious feelings, and they're trying to snuff it out with vaccines and anything else, any other kind of diversion that they can throw in front of you. But then there's the ethereal side, the side that very few of us ever communicate with. And so the end result is there's all these different aspects to your body, and I want to compare it, for example, to a comet. A comet is a physical nucleus, and then if you look at a distance, you can see the tail. If you look in the infrared, you can see this big halo of charged hydrogen around it. What's that doing around a dirty snowball? Well, they're not dirty snowballs. It's a Debye shielding of using hydrogen, the most abundant element in the solar system and in the universe. And then there's the sunward spike, which you can see in the ultraviolet and sometimes in x-rays and sometimes visible light. And then there's the electric fields. And so the electric fields are immense. They can run for millions and millions of miles. So there's all of these aspects to a comet. And, of course, the morons at NASA and standard science want to limit it to this little part that you can see, calling it a dirty snowball. How absurd. But anyway, the human body is very similar in that we have all of these aspects, none of which are taught. You know, when you go to 12 years of public school, I guarantee you nobody ever talks about this at all. And there's a reason, because they don't want you to know about it. And, of course, the teachers don't even know about it. It's not in a textbook. You won't hear about it anyplace else. But these are all parts of your physical being. And now getting to my final point, when everybody is in a room together, everybody is communicating on these various different levels, ethereal, mental, spiritual, electrical, like electromagnetic antennas, etc. And if you go outside, and this is the point that I brought up a number of weeks ago, which exploded when I was on a guest on some radio shows, where I was talking about when people get together outside and they concentrate on something, and then their psychological powers become immense, and that's what the people that running the world don't want you to do. That's why you have to stay in your house. They don't want, they have social distancing. You have to wear a mask in your house. You have to be isolated, etc. They're deathly afraid of groups like you going out in public, going up on a hillside, and putting together your collective intellectual powers electrically, because outside you're connected with the vertical electric field, which gives you a lot of power. It's like the battery that gives you a lot of energy. Okay, so anyway, now we're starting to talk about the electric highways to the stars in a different aspect. Okay, so to continue, now if you hear some noise in the background, I'm not in my nice office setting this evening, and so you may hear some noises, etc., so I apologize for that, but we'll have to live through that, life in the big city. Anyway, so this is a aspect that's really important for adults to understand, because most of them have been missing this their entire life. We're going around, and you know, life keeps you busy, you know, running around doing your job, going to work, or you know, staying at home and working, whatever you're doing, you know, getting groceries, paying the bills, you know, doing everything, listening to the evening news. And literally everything you're doing, imagine in the entire scheme of things in the world, in terms of really advancing the human race, just about everything that people do today has no value at all. It provides you with food, a place to live, that has value. But in terms of the grand scheme of things, how many generations have come and gone back in the ancient world with people living out in the country, living, eating, breathing, you know, having children, the children growing up, the parents passing away, and not really advancing the human dilemma, you might call it. And if you look in my book, The Diamond Principle, I talk about these topics, about the human race just missing the boat. And as time goes on, every second, every minute, hour, day, year, century, millennia, that passes by, and a few of those have just passed by here. Year 2000 was a 1,000-year mark. Only one other one has happened since the beginning of what we call recorded time, the calendar. And has the human species evolved? You know, the idea that Western man is the most advanced civilization ever to exist is some kind of a myth. And it's a myth brought to you by the same people that created the myth. If you want people to not go any farther, to not try anymore, to not pursue anything else, just tell them that they're as far along as can possibly be, and there's no need to go look beyond that next mountain range. And that's what happened back in, say, Mesopotamia, is literally what happened. They lived in the Euphrates valleys, between the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers, and this was a pair of rivers, and beyond that were mountain ranges. The mountain ranges that basically they believed held up the firmament, and so that the star, the sun, and the moon marched across this big dome up there, of which the stars were fixed, and it rotated also, explaining to them how the firmament worked, or how the stars worked, until one day somebody walked up to the edge of the mountain, looked over the side of the mountain, said, "Hey, this is not the end of the world. There's more over there." You know, and I'm sure when they came back to tell the elders that, "Hey, there's something else over there, buddy," there was a lot of gnashing of teeth. Like, no, how can you say that what we've been teaching is wrong? There could be nothing beyond there because that's the firmament. And we're dealing with the same situation today, that, you know, the ridiculous things going on with the space program, where in the, you know, NASA was going to go in 2022 to the moon and then 2024 to Mars. Well, that's all been postponed because they can't get out of low Earth orbit. They, you know, it's ridiculous. Yeah, but anyway, those are, you know, those are myths that are created to keep their paycheck going. And also, they are myths to stop you, the public, giving you that false hope. The world spins on false hope, what we call hopium. And there's different names, like, you know, it's a way of giving somebody a false hope. And then when that false hope arrives, it's like the, oh, if everybody gets vaccinated for COVID, then everybody will be fine. But oops, now you need a second one to be fully vaccinated. But now you need a booster shot every 6 months to be fully vaccinated. They keep moving the goalposts. And that's typical. If you want to con somebody, I got conned when I was young. I got into, in fact, I'll just explain it. I went out to Los Angeles to venture capital groups with my scientific work on the exactly what we're talking about here, electric propulsion systems. And there was a guy who was with a venture capital group, and his job was to keep me at bay. To tell Jim, we got a $1 million deal going here, just wait a month. And he had names, Voorhees, and this joker's name was Francis McKiernan, a guy who traded against his own Irish kinmen. But anyway, he was a guy that was an arms salesman in the background in selling technological secrets to the Russians. That was one of his, you know, the way he made money, made millions of dollars. And so this is one of my first glimpses into the workings of the war industry. And you think, well, they're selling secrets to the Russians. Well, yeah, that's the whole idea. And these are the banker operators to make sure that the Russians and the United States were neck and neck all the time technologically, because that's how they maintained their power. If one side got too uppity, then they could just support the other side more, just like they did in the Russian Revolution with the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks, the Reds and the Whites. And at the end, they just supported the Bolsheviks more. They pulled the support from the Mensheviks. The Bolsheviks, the Reds won, and that's why we call the communist Russians red, is because that was the color symbol of the two sides, the Whites and the Reds. And because of the manipulation of the bankers, the Reds won. And by the time they got into place, the World Bank was well in place managing Russia. They got the people to kill the Tsar. And so, and so you see the same thing going on right now in the United States. You see the creation of a division in the country, and everybody's buying it hook, line, and sinker, not realizing that, hey, we're going to be fighting ourselves. And when the smoke clears, the bankers are going to be in control again. That's what's going on. And everybody's too stupid to figure it out. So anyway, but I'm getting off topic a little bit here. The point that I was making was that the average person is unaware of his or her existence, and as a human species, we're just not progressing at all. And what happens when you don't progress? Well, what happens is the time clock is ticking on naturally occurring events. And eventually the big events, I'm not talking about the Palmas, I'm not talking about the Las Palmas landslide, which would, say, devastate a tremendous amount of, say, the East Coast of the United States. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something that would take the whole world back to the cave age, like a large comet coming by. Those are the things that, if man wastes his time diverting his attention on all kinds of other minuscule, unimportant items, then eventually mankind is doomed. And the people that control things know this. They have their way of going into hiding and coming out and gaining control afterwards. And they've done this many, many times after major earthwide catastrophes. It happened after Noah. It happened after the Moses event, where Venus came through the solar system, and many other events, and it's going on today. They always come out in control is because they get the people fighting each other, which is going on right now. They're doing a good job of it. Oh, man, everything is a conflict. The police against the non-police, the military against the non-military, the vaccinated against the non-vaccinated, the whites against the blacks. I don't care what it is. You know, there's division, division, division. By division, they rule, and that's what's going on. And everybody is, you know, falling for it. And every time some talk show host talks about these topics, it's wasting time getting to the real point that the same people controlling things have been doing this for thousands of years and very successfully. And the people never wake up. The people just get caught into this time and time again, whether it's the Cold War, whether it's us against the Koreans, us against the Chinese, us against the Russians, you know, the police, the people that support the police against those who don't. You know, it just never ends. It's constant, and that's what it's all about. And so if you control the news media, then you can control the narrative on all of these things. And life goes on. It's just, anyway. But let me get back to the main point. The point is that all of you out there, 99.9% of you, probably spend zero time on understanding physically who you really are. And especially kids, they have so many diversions, you know, that, you know, trying to get back to school or, you know, whatever you're trying to do, you know, you're not in a position to understand yourself. Okay, so anyway, that's what this program is going to be about, and I've alluded to this before, and so here's what I would suggest you do. And this is not just telling you because I read it in a book someplace. This is telling you because this is what I've done, and it's been very successful. And it gets you have to get away by yourself, and that's somewhat difficult today. And you have to be outside. So going camping by yourself is a good way to just sit down on a rock over on the side of a hill or top of a hill. And you will sit down and just let your mind go and try and every time you get hooked into thinking about worldly things, just here's the technique actually that's used by people who learn how to concentrate, to learn how to meditate, for example. You have to get rid of all the garbage in your brain. So when something keeps popping up in your brain, maybe it's a problem with your family, or maybe it's a, you know, you're having a problem with your girlfriend or your boyfriend or whatever it is, you know, something that just always kind of keeps up in your brain. You put it in a door and you close the door mentally. It's like you're closing this door and you say, okay, I'll deal with you later, but for right now, I need my brain. I need my brain intact. I need my brain to concentrate. And you close the door and you turn a little key and you put the key over some, you know, in your pocket somewhere. And then, okay, that contains that, those thought patterns, those that keep reeling through your brain. And that's, by the way, what the evening news is all about, to keep you focused on something that really doesn't matter. But it keeps you from thinking about real things in your life. So you have to get away. You have to get isolated. You have to get outside. And you have to connect to the vertical electric field. And that's kind of like a battery. And I'll just give you an idea here. The measurement of the vertical electric field is around 300 volts per meter. And your average person is, say, 1.5 to 2 meters tall. So we're talking 450 to 600 volts across your body from the top of your head to your feet. And you're going, whoa, I didn't know that. And you say, and then your next question might be, well, why isn't this amazing current flowing through the atmosphere, and why don't we see this materialize? And the reason is because the atmosphere is a dielectric. The molecules in the atmosphere are a dielectric, and they are an insulator. So the vertical electric field just sits there. It's static. But when you are immersed in this vertical electric field, all of a sudden you become energized. And that's why you have to get outside, because in a building, that vertical electric field is neutralized. Let's just put it that way. When you're inside of a building, the electric field is pretty much zero. And that's because the surfaces, whether they're even insulators or not, are conductors. And inside a conductor, the field ends up being zero. These are physics principles. If you took electronics, you would know exactly what I'm talking about. For example, if you took, let's take a big steel ball that's hollow, just a steel shell, a big round steel shell, and you have a vertical electric field, and you put this ball inside the electric field, and you measure the electric field inside the ball. What happens is the electrons adjust, the electrons are mobile, and move, and the physical atoms stay there. They're the positive side of this equation, and the electrons move so that it cancels out the field towards the inside. So the electric field inside this steel container is zero. So when you're in a building, it doesn't work. You're not connected to the vertical electric field. That's why you got to get outside. And that's why, by the way, when I was on a radio show, a couple of them recently, and I started bringing this up, immediately immediately the disinformation people started calling in and saying, oh no, the Holy Spirit is every place. And this happened a number of times, and that same regurgitating of that concept came out. And so I'm going, wow, they already have this planned. If this topic ever comes out of you having to get outside and immerse yourself in the vertical electric field as a way of connecting your antenna to the spiritual world and to the outside world, they already have a pat answer. Oh, the Holy Ghost is there. He's in every place. You can be inside a building. You don't have to be outside. That came so fast when I was on John Moore's show a number of weeks ago. As soon as I started talking about this, bing, bing, the phone rang, and this woman comes on, starts talking over me, and just would not shut up. Had to cut her off. She was talking about her friends in college who smoked and whether she was okay with it or not. Just rambling on about anything. Just anything to chew up the rest of the show so that I could not continue talking about that. These people, this is probably the number one thing they are most afraid of. And they have literally... there's other aspects to this historically. But anyway, this is what you have to do. So a good way to start this, by the way, is just do it yourself. Go out yourself, and because if you go with other people, you're probably going to be with somebody that's going to distract you, that's not going to understand, that's going to think it's funny. Oh, what are we doing here? This is stupid. You know, go out by yourself. Then it's just you, and typically you're not going to find a lot of people that are going to go along with you. There are groups that have formed that have had literally tens of thousands of people who understood this. But anyway, that's another story. The idea is that if you do this by yourself, you have much more control. You know, somebody else, the phone is ringing, oh, I got to take this call, you know, doing text. Usually the phone is a huge distraction, and that's one thing about phones too, is they interrupt your concentration span. When I was studying physics and math, I had to spend hours and hours and hours dedicated to one physics problem or one math problem. And like when I was working on the prime number problem, it was literally years of concentration on this problem. And finally, I worked and worked and worked until I finally found the solution. But kids today, their attention span is about 5 seconds. In fact, television and movies go with assuming that the most attention span that people have is 15 seconds. That's the most you can capture somebody's attention without them getting bored today or losing concentration on what you're doing. And so they plan on that. That's why the scenes, are, if you watch a movie or a television show or something, they're flipping between scenes. I had the misfortune of watching an action movie recently. There was no plot. There was no beginning or end. It was just constant jumping and running and smash and boom and on to the next scene and the same thing over again. And that's because they know that the concentration span of the average person out there is probably 5 seconds. So how could you, you know, and that's one of the bizarre things about doing this show. And in fact, I'm going to have a little diversion here. Something that I learned recently, because I'm, you know, in the process of selling water filters, the best ones on the planet, and I'm not going to talk about that now, but the idea is that when I filled out my sales page, the web page, the jmccwaterfilters.com webpage, I put all the details and I wrote the scientific information, the engineering information, everything you should really know about this, etc. And then I had marketing people come in from different, you know, from contacting different marketing people, etc. And they said, you know, you're losing most people here. Most people cannot grasp. They said, you know, you clearly know the subject. You clearly have a lot of information about your filters, but you're overwhelming people. And I'm like, what do you mean? It's all necessary information for somebody to make an intelligent decision. And they said, yeah, but, you know, the average person isn't going to manage this web page. You have to cut it down. You have to cut it down into bite-sized things. How does this work? How is this going to help me? You know, and so the marketing people are the ones that made me realize that, wow, I'm just flooding people with information. And these shows, for example, are somewhat like that. This is an hour-long show, and I know a lot of people listen to it, but I certainly don't have the biggest audience on the planet. And the reason is because this is fairly concentrated material. Most people, they might listen to one show, but they're not going to have time to listen to some guy talking about electric highways to the stars. It has nothing to do with their life, and certainly not to go out on a hillside by themselves. They're too busy. they got their school schedule, they got the football schedule, they got the, you know, the business meeting schedule, they got whatever they're doing. I talked to a guy who's a marketer a couple weeks ago. I was talking to this guy, and he spent his whole life in marketing. He told me him and his wife and his kids have gone many, many times to Disney World. But he said, I want to do something. He said, I listen to your show, and I look at all the stuff you've done. He says, I want to do something, too. If it's nothing more than go to a park and hang out at the park or something. He said, in my whole life, we've never done anything. And I've been traveling through jungles and, you know, up to the Arctic Circle and every place in between and planning expeditions and accomplishing things. But he was a guy that very successful in marketing, but never had done anything in his life. And he just wanted to go do something. But anyway, it's an example of, and that's an example too. And this is a guy too that told me, specifically, that my webpage was way too complicated for the average person. And I'm like, holy cow. And then I wrote this 10-page pamphlet. It's called What's in Your Water. It's 10 pages. And he said, and other people have said also, that this is too complicated. It's a lot of good information, but very few people are going to get through that full 10 pages. You need pictures, you need nice bright statements, you need simplified information that the average person can assimilate. And I'm like, holy cow, am I really, you know, this is not that complicated in my world. This is just, you know, average or certainly below average amount of material to comprehend, and you should be able to read this in under 10 minutes and get to understand exactly what my water filters are about. But they're saying, no, this is too much. You're overwhelming people. Most people don't have time to read all of this. You have to give them bits. And then I started looking at other web pages that sell things, and I thought, you know, it's really true. They have a picture of something, a few words about it, and people click on it and buy it. It's visual. You know, they want to see a picture. It's going to, you know, this is what happens. This is how much it costs. Click, buy. And here I have my webpage with lots of technical information, and I thought, boy, this is really necessary for people to make an informed decision. But in the process, I'm overwhelming people. And so anyway, I think that's the average person on the street. So for me to go into topics like this, especially things that are really foreign to most people, the idea that you are an individual, that you're not just physical, and, you know, the evening news months to make you think that. By the way, listen to this. There's a song, and I hear it when I, you know, go into a mall or something like that, or it's for kids, and the words of the song go something like this. You and me, baby, are nothing but mammals. Let's get together like on the Discovery Channel. Something like that. It's something like that. I don't know the exact words, but it repeats and repeats this. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, this music is driving home to the younger generation that you're just an animal. You know, you're just an evolved animal. You're just a little, you know, because of a lobe on the side of your brain, you're just a little bit smarter than the monkeys that are out there in the jungle. And that's what Carl Sagan taught. His whole Cosmos series was driving home time after time after time the evolution of the solar system and planets and universe as one theme, and then the evolution of animals and plants as another. All of this happening out of nothingness with no design, no plan, no creator. No, you know, you don't have a soul. You're just a little bit smarter monkey than the one out in the jungle. And this permeates all of education. This is what public education is all about. This is the communist, atheist education, and this is what my education program is working to cancel out. And I even talked to education people in, say, Christian education, and this is getting to the core of the same issue, that young people don't have any clue who they are. They don't have any contact with their spiritual life. They don't have any contact with the electric fields that run their body. They are acting like animals. They're just responding to stimuli in the real world. And so it gets back to the same point, is that people have no idea and they have no concentration span. In fact, in 1954, there was a paper that was published. It was called I'll remember it in a minute here, but Quiet Tactics for Silent War. I think it was something like that. That's not exactly right, but it was something like that. But it was about a 100-page document, and in about page 60, it got into education. And it said that they have to get logic and reasoning out of science and mathematics. So that's where the new math came in. Remember the new math? It made no sense at all. It made no, here's the results. You do this and this and this, and you get this result. But there's no understanding involved. There's no logic involved. And then the same way with science. And that's when 1979, finally, Carl Sagan got in there, did the Cosmos series, the most watched series of any series. I don't care if you're talking, you know, go back to the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, all of the big series on TV that were big, you know, TV, very popular, whatever. The Cosmos series was the most watched show in history, and it still is. And the book that went along with it, Cosmos, is the most read book besides the Gutenberg Bible. So the Gutenberg Bible, if you recall, was the very first book to be printed. It was the first book off the printing press, with the Gutenberg printing press, when the first printing press came online, the first thing they printed was the Gutenberg Bible. And so the Cosmos series book, just imagine how much that has been pushed. Something like, you know, half of the people in the world have seen the Cosmos series, even people in Africa, etc. So this idea of the Big Bang, that the world began in a Big Bang in a, you know, billions of years ago, just came out of nothingness and then evolved, and then there were the galaxies, and there were the stars, and there was the planets, and then there were people. Hey, what could be wrong with that? And then, of course, nobody was here to witness any of this. You got to believe Carl. Carl Sagan, smartest man in the world. You know, and who would, you know, and his protege, Neil deGrasse Tyson. By the way, I have a 20-part series. It's called Cosmos, The Real Story. It's in my education package. It came out of my paid cast series. But it's called Cosmos, The Real Story. And it breaks down this whole issue and the misinformation. But Neil deGrasse Tyson is not a great scientist. He's the curator of the Hyde Planetarium in New York, which is a prestigious position. So he's not a what you'd call a highly successful scientist. And so anyway, his attitude, in fact, he has this special, he was one of the first people they got, and it's like a education courses. And I forget the master class, I think it's called. But anyway, I listened to that, and I did some programs countering what he says. But his tack is, look, we have all of this massive amount of scientific information which supports the Big Bang and evolution, so nobody can possibly touch us because we have all of this information, and you out there really don't have any information. So how can you challenge them, the Neil deGrasse Tysons and the Sagans and the rest of the scientific community, because you don't have any information? And of course, they used all of your money, had a monopoly, government monopoly, getting all that money funneled into their education programs at their universities or planetariums, etc. And you know, this is, if you're going to be in that world, if you're going to make a living being in science or astronomy, etc., you have to toe the party line, and it's atheist, communist all the way. It teaches that there is no God, there's no design, there's no creator, just all this just happened. Just boom. It's all evolution. And really, who's just, you know, there's, I mean, they've got a market. They've got a cornered market. They got a monopoly. Anyway, so the whole education system, from kindergarten, from the day that the kids walk into kindergarten, they're shown a picture of man starting out as a crawling on all fours, a baboon or a monkey or something, and then eventually standing up straight and then vertical. And I thought it would be apropos today to have the vertical man have the next stage, the guy's looking at his cell phone, got his hands up looking at his cell phones, and then bending back down to the point where he's going back down to the monkey stage because of the cell phone. I mean, it's really true. And so, but the point is that all of this is designed to be diversions to keep people away from understanding who they are and connecting with the other aspects of their being. Amazing, amazing. And it's like in the Middle Ages, where the Catholic Church taught that the world was flat. And the whole idea of the flat earth concept, even though everybody in the church and the hierarchy, everybody understood that the world was round. And why would you teach that the world was flat, something that was patently false? Because they say there's fire-breathing dragons. If you sail off to the out in the ocean, you'll fall off the edge. There's fire-breathing dragons and everything horrible, and you know, big storms, and you'll die. So that's what they taught the common people, and they're doing the same thing today. They're using fear to control. Fear is the easiest, best way to control people, and it's being done very effectively today. The planning of the whole COVID thing, fear, the masks. And by the way, if you realize that the masks don't do anything and social distancing don't do anything, that really we've been living in a world of where if there really was a COVID issue, then it should have spread like wildfire, and it really didn't. It never took hold. And they're trying to make you think, it'd be like me saying, you know, don't go outside on the full moon, because if you do, you'll die. And then if I convince everybody to stay in their house on the night of the full moon, and everybody does and nobody dies, they'll think, well, McCanny's pretty smart. He told us all to stay in the house on the full moon, and we didn't die. You know, when it has nothing to do with anything. It has absolutely nothing to do with dying or living or anything else. But you could convince people, if you could convince people of that, and they followed it, then they'd think, oh, McCanny's really smart. He told us not to go out on the full moon, and we're still alive. So thank you, Mr. McCanny. You know, and that's the kind of thing. Fear is the thing that has started wars, kept them going. You know, the 50 years of the Cold War is what ran the world for 50 years. When I was growing up, when I was a kid, we had to jump under our desks every day. And the, you know, there would be a siren that would go off in the school, and what we'd have to do is drop whatever we were doing and get under our desks, because the Russians at any point could be bombing us into obliteration. And you know what? The Russians were doing the same thing, and there was no real fear of, you know, ultimate obliteration. It was a fear tactic. And so all the parents were talking about the Russians, and they still got it going. They still got that... They still got that going. And of course, you couldn't talk to a Russian. It was against the law, because, of course, the Russians were terrible. And only our designated negotiators could talk to them. And I'm expecting that, by the way, also to come along here very soon with an alien announcement, that the government has been talking to aliens and that they're the only ones that can talk to them. And it's illegal to talk to aliens. And if you do, you know, I don't know, something. And once again, create fear, to control by fear. Anyway, getting a little bit off topic. I wanted to discuss a little bit also my book, I have the book Calculate Primes, published 2007, showing the formula for directly calculating prime numbers. And then in literally 7 years later to the date, I published the book Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit, which showed how to break encryption codes that were based on public key encryption codes based on prime numbers. But the point is that then more recently, a number of years ago, I published a book called Principles of Prime Numbers, Volume 1. And it was very advanced material over the original Calculate Primes material, etc., showing a lot more organization of the prime numbers. But to introduce this book, it was a number of weeks before the book was actually released. And so I had to create a story that to present to the public. And so anyway, I presented the story of Prometheus. And this is very interesting because it goes back to the Greek gods, where Prometheus was a human. He was a human king. He had a wife, and they were very happy in their kingdom. And one day Prometheus died, and he went to the gates of Hades, and he conned the ruler of Hades into giving him just one more day of life, because he had to go back and take care of some unfinished business. And the guy goes, okay, well, I'll let you do it, but you got to come back tomorrow, and because you're dead. And so anyway, Prometheus goes back to Earth, and he takes his wife, and he escapes, and he goes and hides. And so anyway, eventually, of course, Prometheus dies a natural death of an old man, and he goes back down to Hades, whoosh. And the, you know, this is the story with the Greek mythology. But anyway, of course, the ruler of Hades, which is the afterlife, is not at all pleased with him. So he says, okay, you want to be human? I'll let you be human forever. But what you're going to do is you're going to roll this big rock up this mountainside, and you're going to take all day of sweat and toil and labor, and you're going to roll this rock up the mountainside, and when you get to the top, it's going to roll back down to the bottom, and you're going to have to do it tomorrow, and you're going to do this forever. And so this was actually the subject of an Albert Camus novel called about Prometheus. But anyway, the point is that the Greek gods really disliked human beings because human beings had a body. And the gods did not. The humans could have feel pleasure and sadness and pain and things like that, whereas the gods were very limited in their definition of who they were, etc. And so they were very jealous of humans. And so they were constantly molesting humans, and that, of course, comes out in the daily life of the Greeks, that the gods are against you today, or the gods are favorable today, meaning that your life somehow depended on the ability of these gods to either let you have a nice day or destroy your day, so to speak. And this was because the gods were jealous because humans had a body and they had all these properties. So anyway, back to the idea that the human being has these various aspects, one being the physical body, which you see, you deal with every day, but your spirit is attached to that. You have a spirit that exists in your body. Some people call it your soul, but they have very little communication. And one thing I've learned is that, yes, you can communicate with this spirit, and you have to learn how to do this, and of course, certainly nothing that's taught in public school. It's, you know, in the atheist, communist public education, this is certainly not taught. What you're taught is that you're just a monkey, a little bit smarter monkey than the ones out there in the jungle, just because you have a more evolved brain lobe that Carl Sagan says is your key to being a human being as opposed to a monkey. Anyway, if you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you. But anyway, that's where most people live. But then you have the ethereal side. There are people, and especially the indigenous peoples. I was talking about the Peruvians. The Peruvians typically make treks up to the mountaintops, where the air is thinner and the vertical electric field is much more prevalent. And they have meetings there. That's where they do their religious ceremonies, etc., is up on the... And they'll go up to the, you know, they're famous for being able to breathe the thin air on the mountainside, but they go up to the highest point they can reach, and that's where they have their religious ceremonies. There's no church, there's no building. In fact, it almost seems that the buildings and the churches are designed to restrict people from actually communicating. Well, if you find the great prophets, you know, Christ, etc., they always did their teaching outside. And that's why the Romans were very, very afraid of Christ. You see what he did right before he was crucified. He had thousands and thousands of people walking off their job and going out to the countryside to listen to them. They're deathly afraid of anybody doing that. That's the one thing they know that will the people will gather power and strength. And so anyway, it's something that the people who are controllers, the so-called leaders of the world, are deathly afraid of. They want you afraid of the Russians, the police against the non-police, the whites against the blacks, the Arabs against the Christians. I mean, it goes on and on. It just on and on, the number of divisions that are going on today, and it's all to keep everybody at bay. It's to keep everybody in their own little group, hating these other groups over here. That's what the critical race theory is all about. You know, and then people are fighting, oh, is it good? Is it bad? You know, whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is. It's to keep everybody embroiled in arguments, hate, anger, fear, correction, you against me. All of this is designed so that the public is simply engrossed, embroiled, in Australia, keeping people away from their houses, the rules you have to sign in to move there, otherwise you'll be arrested. That's what it is. That's what it's all about. Coronavirus, we've had those before. We've had the H1N1. That was a government lab-produced virus. You had AIDS. You had Ebola. All of these things produced in the laboratory. And so coronavirus is nothing new. There's nothing amazing about it. It's just another recombinant of AIDS and some other viruses that they put out there. And Anthony Fauci has been through all of these. He's been a pin man, a point man for all of these. So it's not, isn't it amazing that he spanned two presidential terms that are supposedly against each other, Trump and then Biden, completely opposite political spectrum, but there's the guy that nobody elected that's in charge. What do you think of that? Well, anyway, I'm about out of time here. Just remind you, go to my webpage, jmccwaterfilters.com, jmccsci.com. There's a 10% discount on everything on the water filter page if you use the coupon code JMCC. 10% off any purchases there. I have the new HI filters. Those are the replacement for gravity. I have the really nice stainless steel sink filter, and of course the MR5 whole house water filter that really everybody needs. With the PFAS chemicals hanging out there these days, you need a whole house water filter to get the PFAS chemicals out of your water. So I'm out of time. We'll talk to you next week. This is James McCanney. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we're at the crossroads. Good night.